Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad النبي المجاهد الشهيد وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين ساروا سيره وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاهم اليقين أما بعد. The Roman Emperor had mobilized four massive armies, and his plan was that he will send every army, or he will send one army to face one of the Muslim armies. So in this way, each Muslim army will be preoccupied with an army which they will be encountering. Hence, they will be unable to help the other Muslim army. So he sent his brother with 90,000 soldiers to fight against Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu an, who only had 3,000 soldiers. Like that, he sent an army of 60,000 to fight against Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an. And similarly, he sent two other very huge armies to fight against Shurahbil bin Hasana and Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhum. When this had transpired, the Muslim leaders had corresponded among themselves, taking the advice specifically of Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu an, that what should be done in the face of this new development. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu's suggestion was that these four Muslim armies that are separated currently, they should all join together. And they should face the enemy and fight the enemy together as a united force. And then he went on to say that if we join together, then our numbers will be very big numbers we will have. And in this way, inshallah, we will not be overpowered due to less number. And on our own, if we have to fight, it will be difficult for us to manage to fight such huge forces. Then, during this time, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an and Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma had also corresponded with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, asking for his advice. And this was a very unique thing in this war, that there was constant correspondence between the leaders and between Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Constantly there were letters going to and fro, and Abu Bakr radiallahu an was very, very involved in the planning of this war. Although he was far away from in Medina Munawwara, but he was very involved in planning the entire war and what was going on in Sham. So Abu Bakr radiallahu an replies with the exactly same suggestion, that the Muslim armies should gather. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu an mentioned, أنتم أعوان الله والله ناصر من نصره وخاذل من كفره. That you are helping and assisting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help and assist those that assist his deen. إن تنصر الله ينصركم. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important point for us, especially in today's time, when we see outwardly the Muslims suffering in various parts of the world. This is something for us to keep in mind, that this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when any person or any people help and assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely assist them and definitely help them. There may be some type of delay in the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely come to such people. So he says to them that you are helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help you. وَخَاذِلٌ مَنْ كَفَرَهُ. And Allah will forsake those that disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sooner or later, they will be forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they are already forsaken. But it will become apparent. It will become apparent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forsaken them. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anh says that the number of soldiers that you have, the number of soldiers and army that you have, this army will not be defeated, or this number will not be defeated because of being less in number. Meaning in terms of forces, you have enough forces, you have enough people to fight. So you will not be defeated because of having a less number. Yes, if you are overpowered, then min tilqa'i dhunub. The only reason for you to be overpowered will be because of sins. Because of numbers you will not be overpowered, you will be overpowered because of your sins and your disobedience. فَاحْتَرِسُوا مِنْهَا. So beware and be careful of committing sins and violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very, very important point, the importance of staying away from sin in order to draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we find there's another correspondence between Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anh and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, which has a similar message. And this correspondence also, although the kitabs of history do not mention when exactly it happened, but most probably it would have happened around this time, where Amr bin As radiallahu anh had written to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, explaining to him regarding the huge numbers of the Roman forces. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anh replied, very, very historic words of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He says that when we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the help of Allah that we enjoyed was not because of our huge numbers and because of our powerful army. This was not the reason for us enjoying the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, in fact, in most of the expeditions we had very few horses. He went on to say, on the day of Uhud we only had one horse. Then he says, inna atwa'a an-nasi lillah ashadduhum bughdan lil ma'asi, that those that hate sin the most, those that hate sin the most are those that are the most obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that a person has an aversion to sin, and a person stays very far away from sin. This means that the person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَطِعِ اللَّهِ وَأْمُرْ أَصْحَابَكَ بِطَاعَتِهِ. So you personally obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and instruct the people under your command to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way you will secure the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When these correspondents came to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, when these letters came, then he replied in this way. But at the same time he mentioned, وَاللَّهِ لَأُنْسِيَنَّ الرُّومِ وَسَاوِسَ الشَّيْطَانِ بِخَالِدِ بْنِ الْوَلِيدِ. He takes a qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says that I will make the Romans forget these wasawis and these whispers of shaitan that they are having. Meaning shaitan is making them feel that they will be able to destroy the Muslims. These wasawis that they are having and experiencing, I will make them forget all of this by sending Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh at that time was in Iraq. He was leading the Muslim army there in Iraq. And they had made a lot of stride and a lot of progress in Iraq. There was a lot of victories that they had enjoyed. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anh sends a letter to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh. And he says to him that he should leave immediately from Iraq with approximately half the Muslim army, and he should move over to Sham, and he should appoint Musanna radiallahu anh as the leader of the Muslim army in Iraq. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh felt that Sham required the expertise of Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh. Perhaps he felt that Iraq was, the situation was under control in Iraq, and there was a need now for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh to come over and to move over to Sham. So although there were four armies in Sham, as we have been explaining, but at the same time, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh, together with being the leader of one of the armies, he was also appointed as the commander-in-chief, meaning he was in charge of all the armies. If all the armies had to come together, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh would be in charge of all of them. Now Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh has been appointed by Abu Bakr radiallahu anh to this position, that he should move over to Sham, and he should become the commander-in-chief. He should lead all the Muslim armies together. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh, when he received this instruction, then he began his preparations to move over to Sham. He sent a letter to the Muslim army in Sham, giving them the good news that he will be coming over. And at the same time, he sent a special letter to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh. Now outwardly, It could become a tense situation that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh is, so to say, being dismissed from his position, and he is being replaced with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh. So there could be some tension between the two of them, that because of you I have been dismissed. Therefore Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh, he sends a letter from Iraq. He sends a letter to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh, and he says to him, وَاللَّهِ مَا طَلَبْتُ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَرَدْتُهُ وَلَا كَتَبْتُ إِلَيْهِ فِي that Khalifa, the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has appointed me to this position. By the Qasam of Allah, I did not ask for this position. I did not intend this position. And at the same time, I did not write a letter requesting him to appoint me to this position. This explains a very important point, that a position is a responsibility. And a person should not be desirous of a position. So he says that I did not desire this position, I did not ask for this position. And then he goes on to comfort him. He says to him, وَأَنْتَ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ حَالِكَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ بِهَا. May Allah have mercy upon you. You will remain in the same condition that you were before. Meaning, لَا يُعْصَىٰ أَمْرُكَ. Your command and your instruction will not be disobeyed. Although I will be appointed to that position, I will not disobey your command. وَلَا يُخَالَفُ رَأْيُكَ. And I will not oppose your opinions. وَلَا يُقْطَعُ أَمْرٌ دُونَكَ. And no matter will be decided without your input. Now, a very, very, very important lesson for us to learn. The cleanliness in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the manner in which they dealt with each other. A potentially problematic situation. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu cleared the air from before. And he ensured that the hearts would be clean. So he already told Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu that I will consult you, I will not ignore you, I will not oppose your suggestions, etc. And on the side of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, when he reads this letter, he replies and he says, Barakallah Khalifata Rasulillahi fima ra'a. May Allah place barakah and blessings in the instruction and in the suggestion of the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the decision of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an. May Allah place barakah in that. So on his side, he did not feel hurt that I have been removed from this position. And on the side of Khalid radiallahu an, he did not become proud that now I have been given this high position and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu has been removed from this position. So who is he? I don't need to consult him. I will just ignore him. Rather, they had this very good relationship, and this explains that very important point, that the work is more important. The dini work is more important than our personal agendas. Sometimes we may have our own personal issues and our personal gains, our personal agendas. And then it is the khidmat of deen, it's the service of deen. Obviously the service of deen gets priority, more important than our own personal issues. Now Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu leaves Iraq with 9,000 soldiers. There was approximately half the army, 9,000 soldiers he leaves. And he needed to reach Sham very quickly. Because there was the threat, the Romans had mobilized 4 massive armies. He needed to gather the Muslim armies and he needed to encounter the enemy. So he needed to reach Sham very quickly. And at the same time, he needed to take such a route that he will avoid encountering any of the Roman armies. Because he did not want to engage with them. He needed to reach to the Muslim armies and thereafter they will encounter. He did not want to engage with the Romans en route. And if he took the normal route, then it was obvious that he will end up engaging with them and encountering them. Therefore, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu decided to travel through a very vast desert. It was a very vast desert between Iraq and Sham. He decided to travel through that route. He found out from different guides, and the guides refused. They say that this is not a route that such a huge army can travel on. Even it is difficult for a few people to travel, or for one person on his own to travel through this route is difficult. A huge army like this to travel through this route, it's not possible to take such a huge army. Until finally he found one guy by the name of Rafi' bin Amira, and he accepted that I will take you on this route. However, he requested Khalid radiallahu anhu that you should lessen the number of your army. Your army is too big to travel on such a route. There's no water whatsoever. Therefore, you should lessen your number. However, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu insisted that I will have to go with this amount of people. This was the instruction of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he required this army. So this guide tells them that they should try and take as much as water as possible with them, because they will require water along the route. And they begin this journey using the water that they had to drink and to feed the animals. After 4 days pass, now they were still in the desert, this guide, Rafi bin Amira, he was suffering with some eye ailment at that time. So he asked the Muslims that look at the distance and tell me, can you see a tree that looks, that is in the shape of a man that is sitting? A tree which is in the shape of a sitting man, a sitting person. So they look and they say, no, we can't see a tree like that. When he hears this, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Halaktum wa halaktu ma'akum. Inna lillah, you are destroyed and I'm going to be destroyed with you. Because he was anticipating that when they reach that tree, they will find water. But now the tree was not in sight. Then he says to them, look again, look nicely. And then they see nicely and they say that we can see a tree, but now it is partially cut off. So it's not in the shape of a full person that's sitting. It is partially cut off, but the bottom seems to be in that shape. When they reach that tree, he asked them that dig around this tree. And when they dug, then a spring sprouted out and water began to flow and they had water to drink. And then he says that when I was a young child, I traveled with my father on this route and I remember that at this point there was a spring. And he was traveling with them to try and make it to the spring within 5 days. Before the water would run out, and alhamdulillah, in this way they reach here, they had water, and they traversed this desert, and finally, the army of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu entered Sham. When they entered Sham, as they would pass various towns, then there would be small encounters that would take place. So one of the towns that they passed that are written in the books of history is Tadmur. Now those of us that have been following perhaps the Syrian revolution and the liberation in Syria, then we would have come across the name Tadmur. There was a prison. One is said Naya prison, which is a very notorious prison. But some people say that the prison of Tadmur was even worse than the prison of Sayyid Naya. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu passed by this area of Tadmur, and here there was an encounter. He passed a few other towns. Some towns there were encounters, some towns they surrendered, until finally all these towns had agreed to be under the Muslim rule. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu eventually reached Jabiya, where the army of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was stationed. When they reached here, now both of them decide together and they move together. The two armies, the army of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu and the army of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, together they move towards Busra. And near Busra, the army of Shurahbil bin Hassanah radiallahu anhu was stationed. This was the town, or this was the area that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had instructed him to reach and to go to. So they go there. When they reach there, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu comes with his army and he also joins up with them. So now three of the Muslim armies have joined together. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says to the Muslim leaders there, he says that up till now you have not taken over any town. And militarily, this is not a strategic move. At least by now you should have one town that is under your command. So they decided now to conquer the town and the city of Busra. There was an initial encounter, some fighting that had taken place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the planning, strategic planning of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, very quickly, they had cut through the Roman army, and this army had taken protection and taken safety into the town of Busra, the city of Busra, until finally they surrendered and they accepted to pay jizya to the Muslims. This had taken place in the month of Rabiul Awal, the 13th year after Hijrah. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.